Amen. Thank you for that song. That's beautiful, ladies. Thank you so much. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would, make sure turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Of course, our theme is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16. And again, we do have the calendars in the back that have the theme on it. In the foyer there, if you did not get one last week, please make sure to get one of those. And we want to make sure every family has one of those in your home. It has some of the upcoming events and things like that on it. So please, please be sure to do that. There's also some of the wristbands back there as well that has the theme and the verse on it. And I hope that even as we continue learning that chorus, that will be an encouragement to you. So even when you're out, maybe at work or at home or whatever, you'll be able to think about that chorus and the verse there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, though our outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. Well, we're going to begin our going through the book of 2 Corinthians. Whenever we have tried to pick out a theme, we try to go through that book of the Bible as well. And I know what some of you are thinking. 2 Timothy only had a couple chapters, and we still haven't finished that yet. And 2 Corinthians has like 13 chapters. Is this going to take the rest of our life? It might. It might. We'll finish 2 Timothy on Sunday nights. We'll finish that up just in a couple weeks. But we'll begin going through the book of 2 Corinthians on Sunday mornings. And really looking forward to this study through the book of 2 Corinthians. So if you have your Bibles, if you have them open there to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading from verse number 1 down to verse number 7. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be on the screen. You can follow along with that as well. But I'd like for us to read out loud together verses 1 through 7 as we begin this morning. And so let's read together 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you just bless this morning as we begin our study through the book of 2 Corinthians. Lord, just kind of laying a foundation this morning and as what we'll be looking at throughout this year. And we thank you for the good singing this morning. Thank you for the special music, the choir, and what they were able to sing this morning. And just looking to you, behold our God. Thank you for the special that the young ladies sang. Lord, we know the God that we serve. You can move mountains, and you never forsake us. You hold us. And so, Father, I pray that this morning, Lord, just as you've kind of tied all of these things together, the specials, the songs, Lord, the message, I pray that you would just use it to draw our hearts closer to you, Lord. And, Lord, may we look to you this morning. Lord, we each of us have spiritual needs this morning that only you can meet. And so, Father, I pray that you would work through your word and through your Holy Spirit to help meet those needs. And may we be attentive. May we listen to your Holy Spirit. May we act upon what you speak to our hearts about this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of 2 Corinthians, a very, very neat letter that we're going to be going through. Paul had, of course, Paul is the author. It says that the very first verse. I don't know if you caught that, but it says right there, Paul. But Paul had written the first letter to the church in Corinth, which, of course, is 1 Corinthians, from Ephesus, where he had spent a great time building a strong ministry there in Ephesus that through that ministry they would reach throughout all of Asia from Ephesus. In fact, if you go back in Acts chapter 19, in verse number 10, it says, "And this continued by the space of 2 years." So Paul was there over 2 years in Ephesus. And it says this, "So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." So think about this. Paul is in Ephesus, and God is really blessing the ministry there in Ephesus. In fact, so much so that the word of God is spreading throughout all of Asia. Jews, Greeks, they're all coming to faith. They're hearing the gospel. They're coming to faith in Christ. And which is why when he wrote to them, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, he says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." And so Paul, when he wrote the first letter to the church of Corinth, he told them, man, he said, there's a great door that has been opened here in Asia Minor, and a great opportunity for the gospel to go around the world. And so Paul was really focusing on the ministry that he was having there in Ephesus. But the problem was the church of Corinth, they wanted Paul to come and visit in Corinth again. But because of the ministry in Ephesus, he was unable to because of what God was doing there through that ministry. And so Paul had spent 18 months in Corinth originally. He had spent 18 months in Corinth seeing many people come to Christ, and a church that was started, obviously, as he's writing to the church of Corinth, there in Corinth, but also even in nearby Centuria. There was also a church that had gotten started there. And so when Paul was originally in Corinth, God had really blessed the ministry there also, and the church was there in Corinth, and then, of course, nearby Centuria church was established. But God moved Paul along, and, of course, now he's in Ephesus. But because the church wanted Paul to come, and he wasn't able to come, there were kind of some hurt feelings in the church of Corinth. And because the church was filled really with carnal Christians, he had to write the first letter to them to deal with some of the carnality that was in the church. There was divisiveness that was taking place in the church, even sin that was in the church. And so Paul wrote the first letter to that church, 1 Corinthians. And so if you've ever read 1 Corinthians, you see Paul is addressing a lot of issues in the church of Corinth. But Titus was able to meet up with Paul later on in Philippi, and was able to convey to Paul the good news that the Corinthians had kind of listened to the first letter that Paul had written. They were obeying the things that Paul had told them to do. And so Paul writes this second letter to the church of Corinth. This is more of an encouraging letter that he writes, where the first one was pretty harsh. It was basically, if we could say, he was writing to some whining Christians. They were just whining and being babies, and he writes about the sin and things like that. And so he was glad to hear that the church was growing in their faith. He was glad to hear that they were taking care of some of the issues that Paul had addressed. And so he writes this second letter, which is more of an encouraging letter. But it's also one, I believe, as we'll see when we go through 2 Corinthians, it's a very unique letter that Paul writes. Because through this letter, I believe Paul reveals his heart, and maybe even we could say his humanity, more than in any other letter. Many times we look at the Apostle Paul and we think, man, the great Apostle Paul, he just never had any problems. He just never had any difficulties. I mean, he was just above everybody else, right? There was just nobody like the Apostle Paul. But through this letter, Paul shows us his heart, but also shows us that he was a human. He had problems and things just like any other person did, and he struggled with some things. In fact, look again with me in verses 1 through 4. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Did you notice how he begins this letter? Of course, he gives what we would say kind of a usual salutation. He says, it's me, Paul, I'm writing. Timothy is with me. I'm writing to the church of Corinth. And again, I don't want to just brush over this because I think it's important when he says in verse number 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not just a salutation. It's not just saying, you know, this is just a kind of a salutation, hello, dear brethren, whatever. No, it's important that we grasp what he's saying. He is praying that they would have grace. He's praying that they would have the peace that only God can give, right? But I find it very interesting how he begins this letter in verse number 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. And then as he began in verse 3, he says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Verse number 3 is just an amazing verse. And again, we can just kind of read over it very quickly, but I want you to think about how he begins in verse number 3. He's speaking of God, and he says he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father of mercies, and he is the God of all comfort. It's an interesting way to begin a letter, isn't it? It's interesting, he begins this book speaking about comfort. Comfort. Again, if you go back to the first letter that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, he doesn't begin quite this way. You look at some of the other letters that Paul writes, he doesn't really begin in this way of starting off dealing with comfort. Yes, he prays for grace and peace and things, but he starts this letter dealing with comfort. In fact, one of the key words in this letter is the word comfort or encouragement. The verb that Paul uses is used 18 times in this letter. The noun, the word comfort, is used over 11 times in this letter. So in spite of all the trials that he experiences, and by the way, as we go through, and you can flip over with me to chapter number 11, in chapter 11, Paul lists some of the trials and things that he went through. In chapter 11, notice in verse number 24. And again, when we think, well, Paul just was better than everybody else, and he just never went through anything difficult. Well, look what he says. He says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. It means he was beaten 5 times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. So not only was he beaten with a whip, but he was also beaten with a stick. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen. Was there anybody that was for Paul? I mean, he says his own countrymen were against him, the heathen were against him. He says, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. That doesn't sound like everything's just going hunky-dory. That doesn't sound like things are just going smooth sailing for Paul. He says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Paul says, I want you to know, and again, he shows his humanity. He shows us many of the things that he went through. And he says, look, I am just like you. I've gone through difficult times. But yet, even in this, in spite of all the trials that he experiences, Paul was able, by the grace of God, to write a letter saturated with encouragement. Comfort. Isn't that something that every person needs? Encouragement, comfort. Whether going through trials or loss or persecution or difficulties, we all will need comfort. We all need comfort. And you might say, well, everything's going good in my life now, so I don't need comfort. Well, isn't that a comfort, that everything is going good? That should be a comfort in that things are going good now and that you aren't going through a trial. You see, we all need comfort. It's interesting, when Jesus said, I'm going to send someone, because when I leave, I'm going to send someone to you. The name that he called that someone that he was going to send is called the what? The Comforter. The Comforter. He says, I'm going to send you the Comforter to all those who put their faith in Christ. One of the greatest preachers named Charles Spurgeon. Many of you have probably heard of Charles Spurgeon. He's a great preacher in England. Preached in London for many, many years. Thousands and thousands they would have every Sunday, packed, waiting to get in. And we think, man, a great preacher like Charles Spurgeon would have no problems, no issues. But yet this is what Charles Spurgeon said. I am the subject of depressions of spirit so fearful that I hope none of you ever get to such extreme of wretchedness as I go to. Think about this. Charles Spurgeon was called the Prince of Preachers. And sometimes we have this idea that certain people just don't ever experience problems. Certain people just don't ever experience difficulties because they're just not like me, right? They haven't gone through what I'm going through. Well, maybe they haven't gone what you're going through, but can I tell you something? Everyone goes through difficulties. Everyone goes through problems. Every person goes through things that they wish they would have never had to go through. Every single person. Even the great Apostle Paul. Paul went through trials and difficulties. Spurgeon said, I struggle with these things. You understand, friend? Discouragement is no respecter of person. Discouragement is not a respecter of person. In fact, many times, discouragement seems to attack the successful, maybe even more than the unsuccessful. Think about it. The more we have, the more we have to lose. The higher we climb, the farther we can fall. So we really shouldn't be surprised that when we read that the great Apostle Paul was, notice what it says in verse number 8 in chapter 1. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, and so much that we despaired even of life. You know what Paul said? Paul said, man, things did not go well all the time. Things didn't go the way we wanted them to go. In fact, the great Apostle Paul said he was pressed out of measure. In other words, he had no idea what to do. He didn't know what to do. These trials, these difficulties, these problems were coming and said, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know which direction to turn. I don't know what way to go. He says they were despaired even of life. Great as he was in character and ministry, Paul was human just like the rest of us. It is actually in 2 Corinthians that we find when Paul talks about that thorn in the flesh that God gave him. And that in 2 Corinthians, he talks about, he said, three times I asked God to get rid of this thorn in the flesh. I cried out to God and said, God, please get rid of this. And God said, no. And he cried out to God and said, God, please get rid of this thorn in the flesh that I have. And God said, no. And he cried out and said, God, please get rid of this thorn in the flesh. And God said, no. But he said, Paul, let me tell you something. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. So friend, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you went through last year. I don't know what the road has ahead for you. But I find it interesting as Paul begins this letter, he begins talking about comfort, encouragement. So what insight does Paul give us when we faced with challenges or difficulties? I think when we look at this passage here, just these early verses, I think there's three things that Paul gives us that I think that we can use in our life to be a help whenever we're facing challenges, whenever we're facing difficulties, because we will. Maybe you're not facing them right now, but I can tell you one day, you will. I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow. I don't know if it's going to be next week or next month. Maybe it's going to be next year. Maybe you're going to go through 2025 and you're not going to have any problems. And you can shout praise God for that, right? But I can tell you, for most people, that's not the way it's going to go. There's going to be problems. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be something that we're going to go through, some challenge that we're going to face. And how are we going to respond to that challenge? So Paul gives us some encouragement as he's writing to these believers in Corinth, some insight into how to face the challenges and difficulties that come. Notice, first of all, we find Paul understood his purpose. He understood his purpose in verse number 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand, even though Paul faced difficulties, again, he just said in verse number 8, he said, man, in Asia, we were pressed out of measure. He said, we despaired of life. Later on in chapter 10, he's going to talk about that thorn in the flesh. Chapter 11, he talks about all the things that he went through. He said, look, I know what it's like to face challenges. But here's one thing that I never forgot. I never forgot my purpose. I never forgot my purpose. Even though he faced difficulties and trials, he never forgot who he was. Friend, can I tell you something? No matter what you go through, never forget who you are. First and foremost, you are a child of God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. Don't ever forget that. Sometimes when we go through trials, it's almost like we want to blame God. We want to turn away from God. But Paul said, hey, never forget who you are. You are a child of God. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And first and foremost, that is something that we must remember. We must remember who we are. We're a child of God. Do you remember that day when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Remember that day? I don't know where you may have been. I don't know what was going through your mind. Maybe it was at church. Maybe it was at home. I don't know where it would have been for you. You remember that day when you realized that you did not know for sure where you'd go if you died? And God used something. Maybe God used a message, or God used a person, or God used an experience or something to help you to see you needed to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And you made that decision that day. Put your faith in Christ. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget who you are. You're a child of God. And because you're a child of God, you have a purpose. Notice, what does he say? An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, please understand, I'm not, just because you're saved, God doesn't take everybody and make them apostles, right? They'll be like, oh, so I'm saved, so I'm an apostle? No, that was specifically for Paul. That was what God had for him. But don't ever forget that God has a purpose for your life. God has something specific that he wants you to do. Just like Paul had something specific, it wasn't everybody else that was supposed to be like the Apostle Paul. It was just him. But he said, I know that I am an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. This is something that God has called me to do. Can I tell you something? One thing that will help you to endure and to get through and face those challenges, to know your purpose, to know who you are. You are a child of God, and God has a purpose and a plan for your life, no matter what it might be. There's something that God has for you. You may not be a preacher. You may not be an apostle. You may not be a missionary. That's fine. Not everybody's called to be one of those, but you are called to be a child of God and to live for Him and let God live His purpose through your life. And I'm telling you, the thing that we must understand when facing challenges and difficulties, we must understand our purpose. Even through all of that, look, when you read through what he listed there in chapter 11, I mean, I can get, all right, he got beat once with a whip. But it says five times. Five times he got beat. 40 stripes, save one. In other words, there was 39 stripes. Look, I would hope that my faith would be strong enough that if they said, hey, Andrew, you better stop what you're doing, stop serving God, stop preaching, or we're going to beat you. I would hope that my faith would be strong enough that I would endure being beaten. Five times? Three times? being beaten with rods? Again, I would like to say, man, I hope my faith would be that strong, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that God didn't call me to be the Apostle Paul. You know what God did call me to be? What he wants me to be. God didn't call you to be the Apostle Paul. God didn't call you to be Pastor Andrew. God didn't call you to be Dr. Brian. God didn't call you to be Pastor Joel. God didn't call you to be anybody else other than you and what he wants for your life. You say, well, I don't know if I can be like Pastor Andrew. Good. Don't be like me. You be what God wants you to be. I don't know if I can be like the Apostle Paul. You're not the Apostle Paul. You be what God wants you to be. You remember your purpose, and you be obedient to what God calls you to do. He understood his purpose. May I say, secondly, he looked to God. When he was faced with challenges and difficulties, Paul looked to God. Notice what he says in verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted." Notice, he looked to God when there were trials, when there were difficulties, when challenges came. He looked to God, and what does he do? Notice the first thing he says in verse number 3, "Blessed be God." You understand, he's writing this after all of those trials. He's writing this after all of those beatings. He's writing this after all the shipwreck. He's writing this after all those things that he says, in perils by the countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by robbers. He says, he's writing this after all of those things, and he says, "Blessed be God." Sound a little bit maybe like Job? Job went through all of the things that he went through. He lost his children. He lost all that he had. He says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Paul says, "Blessed be God." Can I say this morning, we can praise him, and that's exactly what Paul did. Even when we're facing challenge and difficulties, we can look to God and praise him because he is good. He is good. We talked about this on Wednesday night a little bit. I don't want to go back into it all, but Wednesday night talks about the verses we were going through about praising him and offering God the sacrifice of praise, of just simply continuing to look to him and to lift him up and to praise him for his righteousness. Can I tell you something? There's never a time when he's not righteous. There's never a time when he's not good. We may not understand everything that we have to go through, but can I tell you something? God is good. He is righteous. There's nothing that he does that is a mistake. And so he says, we can praise him. We can praise him. Again, be thankful that God hasn't had you go through the things that the Apostle Paul went through. All the times that he was sitting in a prison cell and after he'd been beaten and shackled and put in the stocks, and yet he's able to say, "Blessed be God." I wonder, when we go through difficulties, when we go through challenges, when we look to God, and I know many times we will do that, we'll look to God, but here's the way we look to God. God, why? God, why did you let this happen? God, don't you love me? Don't you care about me? Instead of praising him, you say, is that easy to do? No, it's not. It's not easy to praise him when things are not going the way we want them to go in life. It's not easy to praise him when challenges and difficulties come, but God says we should still praise him. Because even though we may not understand it, as we trust God and we look to God, God can take it and God can work it for his good and for his glory, if we're willing to trust him. He looked to God. He praised him. Blessed be God. Not only did he praise him, but he looked to his mercies. Look what he says. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. I don't know if you noticed it, but the word mercies is plural. You know what that means? We don't just experience the mercy of God once, but we can experience the mercy of God over and over over and over and over again. And this is what Paul says. Blessed be God, the Father of mercies. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 22, it said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I tell you something, every day and we can go to God and we can go to him and ask for mercy. Every day we can go to God and God says his mercies are new every morning. Man, no matter what we're going through, no matter what difficulties we face, and this, again, this is why it's so important, as Paul says, yes, the outward man, you know, it's gonna struggle and it's gonna be done away, but the inward man can be renewed day by day. To be renewed day by day, even if you're not going through problems, even if you're not going through difficulty, man, can I tell you something? You ought to praise him. You ought to praise him when you're going through the valley, and you ought to praise him when you're above the valley. There shouldn't be a time when we don't praise him, when we don't lift up his name, because can I tell you this? If you're not willing to praise him on top of the mountain, you're definitely not going to praise him in the valley. But at least when things are going good, we ought to get into the habit of praising him, so that when maybe things don't go our way, we're still in that habit of saying, God, I don't understand what's going on, but I'm still going to praise you. God, I don't understand why you're doing this in my life, but I'm still going to look to you, and I'm still going to trust you, and I'm going to still lift your name up. I'm going to look to you and praise you. He looked to his mercies. He knew his mercies were new every morning. I can't imagine what he must have been going through. Many a times when he's sitting in jail, sometimes for up to a year at a time, sitting in jail, and every morning, God, I don't know what you have for me today. I'm just going to trust you. I don't know if I'm going to get out today. I'm just going to look to you. I'm just going to keep serving you. That's it. I'm sure that probably got a little bit hard for Paul. Oh, it might be easy the first couple days. Say, oh, I'm going to keep looking to God. I know his mercies are new. I'm going to praise him. But can I tell you, after a couple days, it's going to start getting a little bit more difficult. And after a couple weeks, it's going to start getting really hard. And after a couple months, when you're not seeing God do anything, you start wondering, is it worth it? Is it worth it? God, I just don't see you doing anything. No, he kept praising. And he kept looking to God, knowing that his mercies are new every morning. He says he is the Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. Aren't you glad we can go to God and his mercies are new every day? We can go to God and his grace is enough. We can go to God, his strength is enough. Can I tell you something? There's nothing that we can't go to our Father about that he doesn't have enough of. And he wants us to go to him. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to look to him. He looked to God. He praised him. He looked to his mercies. And here's what happened. He received his comfort. He says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. Can I tell you something? You want to be encouraged? You want to be comforted? Go to God. You want to be encouraged? You want to be comforted? Get in his word. Get in his word. You know, our problem is we want to be babied. So we go to somebody else. That's what we want. We want to be babied. We want to be like, oh, poor you. You poor little thing. I'm so sorry that you're going through this. Oh, that's just too bad. Wait a minute. That's not encouragement. That's not comfort. No. God said, you want to be comforted? You want encouragement? Go to him. Because he's the Father of it. You go to him, he's got enough. He's got enough strength to get you through it. And can I tell you something? Nobody else has the strength to get you through it, but he does. And again, I don't understand. I don't know all that Paul is doing here, but it's just fascinating to me that he's writing, as he begins this letter to this church that, man, before was just carnal and wicked, and they listened to some of the things that he said, and they started doing what's right, and he writes to them and says, hey, I just want you to know that you can trust God. I just want you to know that when you're facing difficulties and challenges, because when you do what God wants you to do, you will face difficulties, you will face challenges, you are going to face difficulties. But I want you to know that there's a God who cares about you. A God of comfort. And watch what he says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. You think words are important? You think every word of God is important? I think so. What did he say? Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Can I tell you, friend, there's nothing that you can go through that God is not able to bring comfort and encouragement and strength in. You may not understand it. You may feel you're drowning. You may feel that there's no way out, but can I tell you this? When you go to God, he has enough strength to lift you up. When you go to him, he's got that encouragement. He's got that comfort that only he can bring, that no one else can bring. He says, you just need to come to me. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Aren't you glad that we can go to God and he brings comfort? And again, he says there in Lamentations, his compassions fail not. Again, that word compassion means comfort. It means encouragement. They don't fail. There's nothing you can do that God says, oh, I just don't have any more strength. I don't have any more encouragement for you. Can't help you in this. No, he says they fail not. No matter what you go through, no matter what you're facing in life, no matter what challenges and difficulties are there, he says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Can I tell you, friend, if you will go to him, he will bring comfort. He will. You know why? He promised. He promised he would. He says it doesn't run out. And watch. Notice the third thing Paul says. He understood his purpose. He looked to God. But when faced with challenges and difficulties, he understood that going through these things would enable him to encourage others. You notice again what he says in verse number 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Now watch. That we, who? Those who have been comforted. That we, those who have gone through difficulties, those who have faced challenges and they've gone to God and they've remembered their purpose, they've looked to God. He says that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. One verse, and he mentions comfort three different times. That who have been comforted, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them, four times, that in any trouble by comfort whereof we ourselves are comforted of God. He says the reason that we can now, as we look to God for comfort, when we see others who are facing difficulties and trials and things like this, you know what we can do? We can comfort them. We can encourage them along the way and we say, hey, look, I may not know exactly what you're going through, but I know I've faced some challenges and I know I've faced some difficulties and I know things haven't gone always the way that I've wanted them to go. But you know what I did? I kept trusting God. I kept looking to God. I kept looking to him and his mercies were new and his faith, he was faithful and he did everything that he said and I kept praising him and God worked it out. And let me tell you something, if God can work it out for me, he can work it out for you too. Just keep going to God. Just keep going back to God. This is what he says. Now watch. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. You understand that? Christ suffered for our sins. He suffered for us so that we could have salvation. But when we follow him, when we take a stand for truth and right, you know what? There are going to be some sufferings that we face. There's going to be some difficulties because we're following him. He says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast. Paul said, our hope in you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Paul says, I can tell you, our hope is steadfast, that as you're willing to suffer for Christ, as you're willing to obey God and do what God says, and yes, there's going to come times in your life when it's not going well. Now think about it. Corinth was a wicked city. Corinth was an idolatrous place. And here these Christians were trying to take a stand for right. They had gotten some spiritual things taken care of in the church. Now they're trying to do what's right. And Paul says, I guarantee you, there's going to be some difficulties that come along the way. When you take a stand for God, when you try to live right, when you try to live the way that He wants you to live and do what He says, there's going to be some difficulties you will face. But I guarantee you, he says, if you will be steadfast, if you will keep following God, that through every suffering you go through, every difficulty you go through, there will also be comfort from Him that comes with it. Every single one. This is what he says. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Hey, he says, I know there's going to be suffering. I know there's going to be difficult times. But I'm telling you, if you'll be steadfast, if you keep following God, if you keep doing what is right, there will also be comfort. There's also going to be that encouragement. Hey, can I tell you something? The world's not going to encourage you to do what's right. The world's not going to encourage you to follow God. The world's not going to encourage you to keep doing what God wants you to do. That's why you have to know who you are. You have to know your purpose. You have to know you're a child of God. You're not a child of the world. You're a child of God. And He has a purpose for your life. And so what are we to do? We're to look to Him. We're to praise Him. We're to remember that His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And the comfort that we receive through no matter what we go through when we look to Him, He says, hey, that's going to be there so that you are able to encourage someone else also. So you can be a witness and a testimony. Is that not what we have in the Word of God? Did I not already mention Job? None of us have ever met Job, but yet we know about what he went through. Did we not start this morning in our Sunday school, our adult Sunday school, about Joseph? Hey, none of us have ever met Joseph, but yet we're able to learn from him. We're able to see that God was faithful and God was with him no matter what he went through. You see, that's what now, when we are faithful to God and we're saying, hey, God, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to be obedient, I'm going to praise you, I'm going to look to you, then when we are able to experience the comfort that God brings, the encouragement that God brings, we're able to say, hey, I know you're going through something difficult. I may not understand it all, but let me tell you something. Keep going. Keep being faithful. Keep serving God. Don't quit. Don't give up. He's going to be right there with you. He was right there with me, and He's going to be right there with you. You see, now you are able to come alongside someone and encourage them to keep looking to God. Hey, can I tell you something? Only God's the one that's able to get them through that. You can't. You can't get them through it, but God can. But God can use you to help them see it is possible. It's possible. You see, this is what will happen. When we face difficulties and challenges and things in our life, we'll either look to God or we'll look from God. We're either going to look to Him or we're going to look away from Him. And you know what that's going to do? No matter what we decide, that will be the testimony that we have. That's what he's saying here. If you're faithful and you're obedient to God and you follow God, that's going to be a testimony. People are going to see that and you're going to be able to help encourage them. But if you look from God and you just say, I'm just done. I can't go through this anymore. All these problems and difficulties and trials. By the way, friend, I'm not sure if you know this, but the world has problems, trials, and difficulties too. The world is not a utopia. Look around. But somehow we have this idea of following God makes it worse. No, it doesn't. Because the world has nowhere to go for strength. They have nowhere to go for encouragement. We do. We have the one who is the God of all comfort. And we get to go to Him. And so we'll either be a testimony of either looking to God, and that will encourage others that they can look to God and trust Him, or we will look from God and turn away from God, and we won't be able to encourage anybody. We won't be able to say, hey, God can get you through this because we've already quit on God. Paul said, look, all the things that I've gone through, and again, when you read through 2 Corinthians, I think Paul truly reveals his heart. He helps us see his humanity. Paul was not perfect. The only perfect person was Jesus Christ. But sometimes we get this idea that Paul was some great man, that he never experienced problems, that he never questioned anything, and everything was perfect and going great in his life. Paul said, let me tell you something, that's not the way it was. It was hard. We were pressed out of measure. Didn't even know what to do. Didn't know how to respond. We're despaired even of life and all the things that we've gone through. But he says, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Though we might face all these problems and all these difficulties, can I tell you something? God's not going to forsake you. Don't forget who you are. Remember you're a child of God. Remember God has a plan for your life. Look to Him. Praise Him. Bless Him. For He is good and He is righteous. And He's going to walk every step of the way with you through this problem or trial, whatever it might be. He's good. His mercies are new. He's faithful. And God can use this not only in our life to strengthen our faith in Him, but He can also use it in other people's lives as they see we're being faithful. Is that not what we do when we look at the Apostle Paul? We think, man, if he could be faithful and go through all of that, we don't have near the problems that he went through. Not really. And he said, let me tell you something. We serve the God of comfort. So no matter what you're facing, look to Him. Look to God. Because He'll be there to strengthen and encourage and help you each step of the way. Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd help us Paul knew that they were encountering suffering. He knew that they were going through difficult times, just as he had been through. Yet he also knew that if they would be steadfast and keep looking to God, they would also receive that comfort, that consolation, that encouragement that only God can bring, because he is the God of all comfort. So, Lord, I don't know what anybody's going through this morning. You do. I don't know what trial they're facing. I don't know what's coming around the corner in their life. I don't know what they've just been through. But God, You do. Lord, I pray that if there are those this morning that know Christ as their Savior, we would learn from Your word this morning, this insight that Paul gives to us, to understand our purpose, remember who we are, and know that You have a plan for our life. That we would look to You, that we would bless You and praise Your name, that we would remember that Your mercies are new every morning. Your strength and Your grace is sufficient no matter what we go through. And that You can use this not only in our lives to strengthen us, but Lord, You can use it to strengthen the lives of others as they see us following You. So, Father, I pray You'd help us. Lord, no matter what challenges and things that we face, we would learn to remember and look to You. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking about this morning, I wonder if maybe this morning you'd say there's somebody here today, you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I know this morning was not a lot about salvation. But friend, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not even really sure what that means to be saved. Can I tell you, friend, God wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants you to know Him. And if you're here this morning and you say, I don't know if I have a personal relationship with Him, friend, we would love to take the Word of God and show you how you can. How you can be saved from your sins. How you can have a home in heaven. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, that's me. I'd like to know how I could have that. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Nobody's going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you. Just slip your hand up, put it right back down and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. And Christian, what about you this morning? How do we respond when trials and difficulties come into our life? Do we just blame God instead of remembering who we are? That we're a child of God. And God has a purpose for our life. Do we bless Him or do we criticize him? Friend, God is always good. He's always righteous. We can bless him for that. We can look to him knowing that his mercies are new, his faithfulness doesn't wear out, doesn't end. We can know that he, the God of all comfort, can bring that strength and comfort that no one else can bring. Friend, maybe God's spoken to your heart this morning. Maybe this morning you just need to come to him and say, God, I need you. I need your comfort. I need your strength. As we stand this morning, their heads bowed and their eyes closed, the piano's just going to play softly. Maybe this morning there's something that God's doing in your heart. Maybe this morning you just need to come and pray and say, God, I need you. I need the God of all comfort in my life. I want to look to you. I want to bless you. You're good. You're righteous. Don't ever forget who you are. He has a purpose. He has a plan for your life. He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He wants us to come to him.